Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking, everything is broken.
Welcome back, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Michael Farber, every Monday at this time, brought to you by Billy Bob Productions. A volume two of the Dylan tribute is in the works. James Corea's in the editing suite as we speak. There are a lot of performances for time reasons that could not be included in the original film, which is available on YouTube. If you just hit Bob Dylan 80, it should take you to that fabulous night at the Club Soda in late November. It's about 2.5 hours, and there are at least another 11 or 12 songs that will be put together by James and presented for your enjoyment, especially for you Dylan fans or those of you who were in attendance. So keep your eyes open and your ears open for that in the next couple of weeks on Melnick in the Afternoon last week.
And in closing, we lost two very special people this past week. To cancer in Mike Bossy and Guy Lafleur, and heaven has them now. And it is my hope and my prayer that they're not looking for a big defenseman just yet. Thank you.
The concluding few seconds of Larry Robinson's eulogy for The Flower. Haven't spoken to Michael, who worked while we were carrying it live here in the studio with Dan Robertson and Sean Campbell and Father Michael LeClaire of Ignatius of Loyola. Michael was on TSN on television. How you doing?
I'm doing well. That was quite a ceremony. And maybe we wanted more hockey, but we got a lot of religion, and that's fine. And you know, my first thought, Larry had a great line, and Patrick Waugh had a great line about how people cheered him for allowing those goals to Guy Lafleur. And at first I'm thinking, well, Lafleur was all about passion. And I wanted more of that. And that was my initial reaction. And I still feel that a little bit, but the more I thought about it, I mean, these people who were doing eulogies, I mean, they are about the game. I mean, you're about the words, Mitch, right?
Yep.
And we can't hold them to a standard. They have to be themselves. And so we shouldn't be critical at all. You know, let's not be critical. Let's just celebrate Lafleur. And I thought the best moment actually occurred outside the cathedral, where priests came out and offered communion to people outside. I thought that was so lovely, mm-hmm. because that was Lafleur, and he was an inclusive guy. Everyone, or almost everyone, loved him to death. And, well, let me rephrase it. Not loved him to death. That's horrible. Let me start again. Everyone loved him. And so people could celebrate the actual Mass. So I thought that was just great. And you know, once in a while you need passion. I go back to the first presentation of the announcement of the presentation of the Rocket Richard Trophy. This was in Tampa during an All-Star game, and Gary Bettman, you know, kind of spelled it out, and that was fine. And he was sitting next to Ronald Corey, and Ronald Corey, God bless him, got the mic, and he explained to the journalists at this press conference who the Rocket was and how much he meant. And that's what he needed. And maybe that's what we needed a little more of, but, you know, all those eulogists did just fine in the end.
Yeah, and I was, you know, Larry, as you know, Michael, he didn't say anything until he got up there, or just he got up on the steps and he said a few words for the first time since the passing of Guy, and, yeah. and he got emotional. And then, so I was a little worried that if he'd had trouble getting through it, but he did just fine considering the circumstance.
Yeah. And, you know, I was also thinking about Steve Shutt, and you had him on.
Yep.
And, you know, Steve Shutt's deprecating to the nth degree and phrased his right wing as much as he could. And we talked about LaFleur, you know, slow start, a relatively slow start with the Canadiens. And, well, then he gets to play with Shutt, and things seem to happen. Now, obviously, Shutt was a more prolific player playing with LaFleur. But LaFleur also benefited from the relationship with Shutt, which Shutt never really has pointed out. You know, the 60-goal season, that string of 30-goal seasons in a row, which remains a club record. And I'm looking at 22. And 22, Caulfield, you know, we've finally gotten away from fourth liners in 22. And that's a great number. But let's just play this out. I mean, Jeff Petrie has a good chance he'll be traded. Caulfield likes the number 26. I mean, if 22 becomes available, why should Steve Shutt have to wait? He belongs up in the rafters, and he'd be the last person to say it, unfortunately, but I'm not. And, you know, you don't want a Bernie Jeffrion situation, right? Remember that? Retire his number, and, you know, day he dies.
He didn't live to see it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, let's do the right thing. I know Jeff Molson thought a lot about and a lot of Steve Shutt when he was a kid, and Steve Shutt was one of his favorite players. And you know, let's go. You know, the time is here. The time has passed. And so if you feel the way I do, and I know there's some people out there, drop the Canadians a line and say, hey, what about Steve Shutt? We're not lowering the standard here. And I think that's key. You know, all those cups, you know, five cups, Steve Shutt, all the goals. And LaFleur made me think more about Steve Shutt. So, you know, drop the Canadians a line and say, hey, you know, here's a man who meets the standards. Let's see 22 in the rafters.
Any other franchise, he'd have his jersey retired. But when you think about it, you know, those LaFleur, Cornway, Robinson, Savard, Lapointe, the big three on the blue line, Dryden, they're all hanging there.
Yeah.
The only other one, and he preceded Shutt to the Canadiens, and it's a little sticky with Jacques Lemaire. Right? And, you know, Lemaire, you could argue, as Al Strachan did very forcefully last week, that he cost Guy LaFleur three full seasons of hockey. You know, whether that's fair or not, clearly when he came back, it was obvious that he could still play. But what about Lemaire in 25? I mean, he was a fantastic player. Or is that murky? Is his post-Montreal career a little too murky for the Canadiens? I don't know.
Well, I have no problem with 25 going up there as well. But I'm looking first at 22, and the LaFleur funeral got me thinking about it a lot.
Barry Trotz got fired today. Not the first time Lou Lamoriello has shocked the hockey world with a move like that.
Yeah, well, Barry Trotz is one of the finest coaches and finest people I know, and it's always okay to fire a coach. I mean, there are myriad reasons to fire a coach. I would fire a coach if, A, that things had completely devolved, and I think we saw that this year when there was no intention of firing a coach in Montreal. The second thing, a reason to fire a coach, is you are 95% sure that the person you are going to be bring in is an improvement over the coach. Now, find me a better coach who's available than Barry Trotz. And I'm going to think it's pretty hard to do. Now, we don't know what went on with the Islanders this year. Lamoriello, you know, fired Claude Julien at the end of the season. I mean, he's done some things. Robbie Fatorik, Larry Robinson comes in, wins a cup with the Devils. You know, Lou is the Wizard of Oz, you know, very good and very mysterious. But finding a better coach than Barry Trotz, I don't know. Maybe something went on that forced Lamoriello's hand. Maybe Trotz wants to move into management long term. I have no idea. But my goodness, Barry Trotz is on the market. I'm sure a lot of teams are saying, "Yeah, I mean that's pretty good." And I, you know, we go back to Claude Julien getting fired by the Bruins, and a week later, Michel Therrien's out of a job. So, you know, things could happen. I don't think it'll happen in Detroit, which got rid of Jeff Blashill, especially if Barry Trotz wants more responsibility. He'd only be going there as a coach. Steve Yzerman's very well entrenched. But I'm sure their franchise is looking at Barry Trotz and saying, wow, we like him. And one of the things is, for the most part, Barry Trotz's players have always liked him, and you don't always find that in the league.
Mitch Gallo, what's your man Mike Babcock up to?
I've been advocating for him to get back into hockey ever since he was fired.
Well, Lamoriello already had him in Toronto. I don't know if he would do that again. Joel Quenneville, you know, another all-time coach, is available too. But the game and the sensibilities, Mitch and Mitch, have kind of moved on. And if there is an owner who wants to hire Mike Babcock, I said, this guy's resume is great. You know, a Stanley Cup, Olympics. This is the guy we want. Then I think you'd see a general manager do it. The fallout over Kyle Beach is still so fresh. I can't imagine Quenneville getting back in anytime soon.
I'm surprised we haven't seen any odds on Babcock coming back to coach in the NHL somewhere at some point during some broadcast, Michael.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're all drinking from the poison chalice, right? And we think gambling's great. It, you know, Wayne Gretzky, what's his name, Fox, the actor?
Michael J.?
Jamie Foxx,
I guess. Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Michael
My mind went to the same place. Yeah.
You know, during the game, there's Austin Matthews, bet 99, point net. This is during a game. Last week, you might have noticed that the NBA fined the Philadelphia 76ers 50 large because they did not update Joel Embiid's status in a timely fashion. Well, who was that for? It's not for the Miami Heat. It's for the gamblers. So if you are going to get in bed with the gaming industry, you know, you've got to tell people, okay, you can't, you know, who's your goalie? You got to tell people. Injuries, you got to tell people. You have to be transparent about that or the gambling won't work. You know, I feel like I'm under assault with the gambling commercials. I think, you know, I'm not sure it's a great idea. We've gone from zero tolerance to, hey, we can make some money off this, and you're making money off gamblers. I mean, you know, if every gambler won, they wouldn't have these things, right? So if the NBA is fining someone $50,000 because it's being unfair to bettors, you know, the NHL, you know, coaches can't hide injuries and, you know, have to announce goalies and the whole business. You're in or you're out.
Final one, Michael. It's a variation of gambling. Of course, the lottery tomorrow. Craig Button will join us in a little more than an hour. We know how you feel about tanking. You've made that quite clear. But what about if you could change the system, what would you do?
Well, before that, you know, there's the old slogan, life is too short to drink cheap beer. you ever heard that?
No, but now I do.
Well, and life is also too short for me to run tankathon lottery simulations, but because I have so much respect for Mitch and John and your listeners, I did that today. 25 times I ran this simulator. The Montreal Canadiens got the first pick 4 out of the 25, which is not, you know, about what you might expect, between 4 and 5 times. So anyway, this is what I would do to remove all incentive from tanking. You just take the playoff teams that didn't make it, 16 playoff teams, put them in a hat, full names, and then let the chips fall where they may, or that would be the way the lottery ball bounces. I have no problem with that. And you've removed all incentive. Now, if a team like Vegas, which barely missed out, wins, hey, that's how it works. And while I'm fixing the NHL, by the way, you know, we get rid of wild cards. You play your way out of your division. And you do this for 20 years, and that's how you build up rivalries, which, of course, are the lifeblood of hockey. We don't need to see Nashville play Colorado. We need Pacific teams against Pacific teams, Central against Central, and let's build up these playoff rivalries. And that would be for the benefit of everybody. Well, it's not fair because somebody's got more points. Yeah, and to quote my schoolyard days, tough noogies. just do it this way. Build up the rivalry. Some years one division will be stronger than the other, and that will change over time. And get on with it, because you need the rivalries back, and that comes by playing your way out of your division.
We'll pick up on that after Aaron Ward. Thank you. Talk to you in a week.
That was Cornwall, Mahomes, just shoot first.
Advantage of something you don't see too often, I would imagine. The Russians coughing up the puck.